Oh, good evening, everybody. Good evening. It's great to see all your beautiful faces. We are going to dive in. Jesus has really spoken to me for this evening. There is a very holy invitation, but I will wait until we finish worship and then I'll flow with the messages. Holy Spirit shows me to. Ha. Wow. Sha. Just prepare to get wrecked. Wow. Holy Spirit, we give you this time. We gather at your feet as your family, as your body. Holy Spirit, wow. We give you again everything that we are. Oh, Jesus, you are our life. Come and have your way, Lord. Come and have your way with us wreckers tonight. We give you full permission to take full possession of us, to take over our thinking, to take over our emotions, to fill us afresh with the beauty of who you are. We are desperate for that, Jesus. We are desperate to have more of you, to encounter your love tonight. So, Jesus, for everybody here, everybody listening, pour out your Spirit. Pour out your Spirit into us. Take us into the place you desire for us to experience over these next couple of hours, and so that our lives are never the same again. We just lay down everything in our life to this point and step into this moment with you. Help us, Holy Spirit, now to ascend.
There is none like you, none like you, faithful one. There is none like you, none like you.
Give him every ounce of your heart. Just be free in this place. The most important thing is that we experience God. We have a life-changing, life-wrecking encounter with the love of Jesus and seeing him face to face. So just pour out your heart, shut off the concerns from your mind of what's going on in your life, and just lock your attention and your affections onto Jesus now. Let the words, let the worship escort you in, and just abandon yourself to him. Literally, just pour yourself out at his feet. Just before we started the meeting, the Lord showed me shafts of light coming down like spotlights from heaven over all of us in the meeting. And I saw that they were like, it was like Jacob's ladder. There was a grace in it, in his presence spotlighting over us to enable us to ascend and reconnect to him. And it was like Mark just sang then, it was like seeing open heaven, the window of heaven open. So just begin to turn your face into the light of his presence. Like lean back on the inside and rest into him, and let his spirit undergird you and lift you up and in. And then I saw women from the cloud of witnesses, and they were scooping out, they were going over to great big jars, like in the wedding of Cana, where Jesus turned the water into wine in the huge ceremonial washing jars. I saw jars full of new wine, fresh wine that had just been prepared, a celebratory wine, and they were ready to bring these containers filled with the new wine over to each one of us. And so again, as you're just ascending into him, connecting into his presence, aware that his attention is on you, just begin to receive by faith these cups, the ministry of heaven, where the Lord is distributing fresh, new, celebratory, intoxicating wine of his presence. As we ascend, he's pouring into us fresh life, fresh perspective, but he wants us drunk, literally drunk with love. Holy, 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 whoa, holy, holy, whoa, holy, holy, wow, wow, sure, wow, ha, ha. As we begin to receive the ministry of Holy Spirit, begin to drink the wine. The second you experience his presence, just start to drink, receive, wow. You didn't know his love tonight and be set free. Jesus. He wants to satisfy your every need. To banquet and feast and drink on him in his presence. He sets a table before you in the presence of your enemies. He wants the cup of your life to overflow. He wants your head to be drenched with the dew of his presence, your garments to be saturated in the oil of his presence. Every fiber of your being alive, saturated, drunk in the love of who he is. He wants to break you out of boredom and mediocrity and apathy and lower realm thinking and the stuff that clambers around our hearts. He's unpicking all the debris. He's washing off the dust. everything that's been contaminating your heart, your emotions. He's unstopping those gushes of rivers of living water inside of you. Again. Wow. Jesus. 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 We say yes. Yes to it all. Yes to it all. Yes. Saturators in your goodness. We turn into you, source of life, lover of our soul, lover of our soul. Holy Spirit, we drink deeply of the new wine that you want to pour out tonight. We receive it. We receive it. We receive you. Push in and worship. Open your heart. Open your arms wide. Just dance with him. Jump onto the dance floor with him. Dance with him. Look at him. Give yourself to him. The one who is radiant splendor. With one glance of his eyes, your life will be transformed. Just stay in this place in your heart. I'm going to read a couple of scriptures and share what the Lord put on my heart for us this evening. But like I always say, let it be language that will help you in your own connection with Jesus this evening. Where can we go from your spirit, Jesus? If we go into the depths of the earth or the heights of the heavens, wherever we are, even if we're running from you, we can never get away from your beautiful spirit. No matter how far we go, no matter how challenging our situation, you are there. You are there. ready to invade all of us and every part of our life, all over again, day by day, hour by hour, minute by minute. You are there as we turn to you, as we seek your face, in the tiny attempts of our heart to reach out to you as we turn. You are there. You are there with open arms. You are there with compassion, with kindness and perfect love and the resources of who you are, ready to meet our needs. Your goodness and mercy follow us all the days of our life, and we will dwell in your house forever, feasting on you, nourished, transformed, transfigured, ever growing in Christ-likeness, ever expanding in perfection of reflection. In our weakness, Jesus, we choose to gaze upon you. We say yes to your invitation to know you more, to be possessed by you. We are willing, we desire to be possessed by you, to be drenched with love. We want nothing other than to reflect you, to remain in the one who is holy, consciously connected at all times, loving you as our hearts move as one, our hearts in response to yours as you pour in your love. We are alive because you gave us life. We are so grateful, so thankful. I'm just going to read from Hosea 2. This is Jesus' desire, his intention for our life now made available to us, as we know, because of Jesus, because of the cross. What I felt this evening in the Lord's heart when I was preparing, just sitting with him, was that he wants to close the reality gap for us between this and where we're at. Holy. He wants us to fall in love with him again. He wants us back in that fiery first love experience, you know, when you were in the spirit with him and you couldn't get enough of him, and you would lay at his feet and for hours, or however you expressed in response to the first love, the first time. If you remember back to that first moment, those moments where you experienced him and you lay on his chest and you were engulfed with love and you were exuberant, like somebody who's fallen in love, and you lived from that place. And I felt very much that, and I speak this for us, everyone who's listening, everyone who's here, and for the church in the regions where we live, you know, we can be in agreement and pray this for others. I could feel the tiredness in people and the apathy and the warfare and the oppression and the relentless challenges of life. And like Paul says, And I believe he said it with tremendous compassion, not sternness. I fear that you've been seduced away from your pure devotion to Jesus by the cares of this life, not by outright rebellion, you know, by the cares of this life, by the wounding unhealed within us that gets triggered by circumstances and the demonic and all the stuff of life. And slowly our hearts grow dim, right? They get a little bit dull. We can intermittently feel the Lord. We can intermittently walk strong in spirit, but then more stuff clambers around our hearts, more challenges, more broken relationships, more demonic warfare, whatever the stuff of life that comes around us. And before we know it, we're not in that first love experience anymore. Jesus wants us back there. Like he was saying in the worship, he wants us intoxicated, drunk with love. It's all through Paul's letters in the New Testament, right? Don't be drunk with wine. Be drunk with the Holy Spirit. Because we know this. Why? Because he replenishes our energy. He revitalizes. As we're drunk, we're filled with the Spirit of God. Perfection and holiness is touching us and expanding within us and clothing our hearts and reigniting our capacity to receive love and give love, release love. You know, like Ephesians 3:19, Paul says, when he's praying under the unction of Holy Spirit, strengthen them, talking about the Ephesian church and then all of us, strengthen them with might, Father, by your Spirit. Why? Why is that so important? Because it enables us, as Paul goes on to say, so that we can comprehend, fully experience the height and depth and breadth and width of the love of God. And when we do that, it says then in the next part of that verse, so that we can be filled with all the fullness of God. That's the key to being transformed. We need to be strengthened over and over by Holy Spirit. It's not irresponsibility. People get very responsible with the works and responsibilities that we have in the body of Christ, and that's important. But if we don't do the doing of life as an overflow from the connection and the ongoing infilling of Holy Spirit, eventually we will reach the end of ourselves. We may have humongous capacity, but eventually we will reach the end of our own capacity, because we weren't created to live apart from God, right? We weren't created to live separate. We were created to be an expression of a love affair with the God who is love. And we are created to be living epistles, living stones, right? That speak continually of the testimony of Jesus as he shines his light through us. So Hosea 2, it says, in that day, declares the Lord. So this is his heart for us, right? This is the accomplishment. This is the heart that went to the cross for us. This is his intention. It's the life that he desires for us, and we have tasted, and he wants us to know more. And he wants to close the reality gap for us tonight. Wherever we're at, whether we're on fire to a degree or we are completely burnt out, we're almost like feeling like we're backslidden. You know, if we're in compromise because of, that's one of the areas, right, of, that happens to us as our hearts slowly numb out and cool down. As we get busier and busier and busier, as we get more and more battered through our life, as we get more and more parched, we become vulnerable to compromise. when we get spiritually bored, we start to wander and look for other loves, right? We start to, because we were created with needs, legitimate needs that are supposed to be fulfilled in Christ, right? And when they're not, we become vulnerable, and that's when we start wandering and addiction kicks in, and we start making choices that are of the flesh, not of the spirit, right? Hosea 2, in that day, declares the Lord, you will call me my husband. You will no longer call me master. I will betroth you to me forever. I will betroth you in righteousness and justice, in love and compassion. I will betroth you in faithfulness. He wants us tonight. This is our moment with him, right? He wants us tonight to close the reality gap, to come back into understanding this experientially in our inner life, in our heart. He wants us experientially in this reality. You know, if you're, I believe from my experience with the Lord for 20 odd years, that the highest state of life that we can attain is knowing him as our bridegroom God, meaning experientially walking because of his covenant with us in oneness, experiencing the infusion of his love continually, being transfigured as the perfection of who he is moves into us, into our hearts because of his indwelling spirit, the mystical union Christ in us as we move in oneness, as we receive his love and live in that in love, inner vibrant state. That's the intention of his heart. That's the highest attainment in life, to live in love with God, to live fulfilled in Jesus, to have every need met. It's a place of safety. It's a place of transfiguration. Every attribute, all that he is, becomes all that we are through that connection. There's no other way. It's by his spirit that he establishes all things, first and foremost, us as a new creation now in Christ Jesus. If we walk by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh, but we have to walk by the Spirit. We have to intentionally guard our connection with Holy Spirit through daily devotional time with him. That's it. Any relationship remains on fire. The intimacy remains, the connection remains through investment into one another's hearts, right? So it's that place that is the place where we remain alive. And if we've lost that connection, then holy. We turn back, right? His presence in our lives is always now, right? It's always now. His presence is now. We can step in at this very moment into his presence. It's that fast. Turning back, repentance, shifting back internally into God consciousness. And then we start to walk by the Spirit again, filled with him, connected to him, aware of him. And then all the promises afforded to us in Scripture begin to be our inheritance, our reality. We can't access the life that we see presented to us as the normal Christian life in the New Testament that seems to many unattainable, lofty. That is our normal Christian experience. We can't attain it in the flesh, right? We have to step in to the new creation experience, which is Christ in us, the hope of glory. This is the gospel of grace. We've been sold a bunch of religious junk. It's and such complex stuff, unattainable spirituality. We've got to get back to the simplicity of Christ in us, the hope of glory, that those that walk by the Spirit will not even give a moment's attention to the lusts of the flesh. You will not fulfill them because you're not even in that nature anymore. It's about alignment. Holy, so many of us are tired trying to be good Christians, trying to believe, trying to remain in the Christian life. And actually, if the truth be told, people are exhausted. A lot of people are exhausted. And I know because I travel and I'm in full-time ministry. I speak to a lot of people every week around the world in ministry, and I travel and see the condition of the church. People are desperate or apathetic at the moment, or in varying stages of desperation because of their pain or their apathetic state. They're going, there's got to be more. And I think some of it is to do with the fact that they get lost in complex religious teachings. They get lost studying law, not focusing on the one who is life. It's about connection. It's simply about coming back into the present moment where God is right now and choosing him, and in authenticity, being real in your heart with him, expressing how you feel, what you need him to be for you, giving him your heart. If living in that state that I've just described is not your normal daily life right now, let's give some time at the end. I mean, I want you to be engaging. This is not about me. My whole heart right now before God is to serve you, is to act as a facilitator, as a support, to champion you on in your own relationship with the Lord and help reconnect you back so that vibrancy can reignite inside you and that first love experience can begin to wash through you again. That's what he wants. That's his invitation. You know, Hosea, many of you will know the book of Hosea. It's so famous. The prophet Hosea and what the Lord called him to do, you know, and the picture that the father was painting through the life of Hosea and through his children and through the woman he had married. And, you know, he was, if you look at it, he was expressing his heartbreak at Israel's adultery. And he was devastated and angry and overwhelmed, and he paints a picture, an emotional picture of his pain through Hosea's life. And then as you get into chapter 2, you see very quickly he's open and then he's vulnerable, and he says, and I will woo her into the wilderness, and I will bring her away. I'm obviously paraphrasing. I will bring her away from her other lovers, from her apathy and her compromise and her pain. Obviously, in that situation, it was very much about rebellion and adultery, and in the form of idol worship. And you know, the Israelites were worshiping Baal, and they were in a terrible mess. So I'm not comparing this like for like, nor is Holy Spirit, but what I'm drawing out from that is his heart, his invitation. He's wooing us back from our own states of lack of connection, lack of vibrancy, spiritual boredom, exhaustion, whatever it is for us, or just simply we are desperate for more of him. We may not be in that state. I think a lot of people are, but we might not be. But again, he wants you even more in love with him. That's the place of power, right? When we live from that place, we shine. We shine God, and that's what transforms others. So if, at the end, let's give time that you can really, I mean, just engage with it as I'm speaking, but you can really get your heart right with him. It's now, the moment's now. You know, he wants us to enjoy him, right? He wants us to live clothed in righteousness, filled with peace, filled with joy, with his power flowing through us, with his wisdom, where we're wowed by the beauty of who he is and the knowledge of Jesus, of who he is. When, it was a number of years ago now, some of you may have heard me saying this, but I had a profound experience with the Lord, and I felt like I was to share the encounter tonight as part of our way through back into first love. Holy. I was taken up into heaven. I was with another two friends of mine in America at the time, and one of them was also came up into heaven and witnessed the whole experience as it was happening to me, which was extraordinary. In the experience, I was taken up, and I was standing in front of the seven spirits of God, and I could see Jesus, and he was moving amongst them. And they were presenting to me as the lampstands, and then interchanging in how they were appearing. And then Jesus handed me the second one from the left. And as he handed it to me, I knew in my spirit, the revelation was given to me, it was the spirit of the knowledge of God. A lot else happened in that encounter, but the specific thing I felt for this evening was to invite the ministry of that particular spirit to begin to engage our lives, because after the spirit of the knowledge of God was given to me, I began to move from that point in a completely different level of continual experiencing the continual unfolding of the knowledge of Jesus. And I began to minister from that place. And so I felt that an important part of us moving to this next level was to invite ourselves, and I will pray for you for this impartation, to invite the ministry of this spirit in. Because Jesus wants to be able to be known by us. He wants us so intoxicated with his beauty, so aware of who he is, that we are consumed. He understands that our frailty, right? He understands that we get spiritually bored. He understands that we have an enormous amount of responsibility in life, that we have pain, that we have brokenness, that we are willing, but we are weak. And he's overwhelmed by every tiny movement of our heart to try to move forward to love him. He loves us, right? We are the focus of heaven's attention. We are the apple of his eye. And he wants us to live satisfied in him. Holy. We don't get spiritually bored, right? When the continual increasing, unfolding revelation of the majesty of who Jesus Christ is flowing in our life. This is possible for us. This is the desire of God. Every visitation that we have from the great crowd of witnesses, every angelic visitation that we experience, everything that you read about supernatural activity going on that's recorded in the Bible, it's all providing revelation of who God is. Everything is about Jesus Christ. Every experience I've ever had in heaven has been unfolding to me the truth of who Jesus is, more of who he is, imparting it, because heaven releases living as I'm sure you know, in heaven everything is living. It's moving revelatory knowledge that's on partation from the being of God. So you leave heaven with more impartation of who He is within you. So the ministry of the seven spirits of God is hugely important. And specifically tonight, it's the ministry of the spirit of the knowledge of God. The knowledge of God, right? To reveal who God is to us more than we've ever known. Holy. There's so much more. So much more. And He's inviting us back out from the complexity of whatever we've been focusing on, whatever things have been satisfying the needs of our heart that have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God, the experience of God in the present moment. We need to just tear those things down, right? Just tear down, as it says in somewhere, 2 Corinthians, I think. Tear down every high and lofty thought, prideful thought or entity that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. Because what it's doing is resisting your capacity to engage in the present moment with the presence of Jesus and know Him more. Because He died for a relationship. He died to be known by us, right? To be filled with us, to be engulfed with love and intoxicated with the wine of His presence all the time. Not just intermittently, not just at the weekends, but continually, so that we can live full and be an overflowing vessel poured out. Poured out. Poured out. He doesn't want us living at a distance from Him, knowing about Him, or intermittently knowing something of Him. He wants us saturated. And it has been from, I think, everybody I know these last couple of years, it has been extraordinarily difficult. I won't go through all of that, but we know a lot of people right now who are on the knife edge. I mean, even the last 24 hours, we've got some very, very close friends of ours in Reading, at Bethel, because we obviously spend time there. We have dear family over there. And I was notified that three of our friends this morning's houses have completely burnt down and they've lost everything. They've lost their cars, they've lost all their belongings, they've lost everything. You know, and I mean, that's just, these are just current things that are happening today. I mean, I could give you a list as long as my arm of tremendously difficult things that have been going on for people all over the place. So, and Jesus understands that. He understands the cares of this world have crushed in on our hearts. That there is a contending that's violent that comes against us to disconnect us from God. Why? Because as His presence engulfs us and we are yielded vessels, God is resident in the earth again and shines through His people as dunamis power, and the enemy knows who we are. So there is a war, not to focus on the warfare. We live from Golgotha, right? From the victory of Golgotha, from it is finished. From it is finished. What is the principal victory of Golgotha? That we are now a new creation. Christ in us, the hope of glory. We are now a different, different creation. So the war is to convince us that we're not. Is to get us so completely oppressed and living in this, in the natural realm with no spiritual visibility, no spiritual strength, wandering from day to day, trying to manage the pressure of our life. When actually, because the enemy doesn't want us living in the power of what's being made available to us. One One of the most powerful weapons of warfare is intoxicated joy. I'll finish with this, and then let's just whoever wants to, let's just respond to the Lord's invitation. I was on one of the assignments with God TV. It was a number of years ago now, and we were out in Israel, and I was covering Wendy, and we were standing for the Global Day of Prayer. So we went into the studios. They were filming 24/7, so you can imagine there were producers rushing everywhere, and it was just, there were all sorts going on. So they had the Global Day of Prayer headquarters operating out of there, and God TV were filming it live 24/7 from there. So, and there was an absolute hornet's nest of oppression that had moved in, and there was all sorts of complications going on. And so we walked in to begin to engage, to try to start to shift the atmosphere and free it up a little bit. And as we walked in, I'm like, okay, Jesus, I'm not growing up enough for this one. And Holy Spirit fell on the pair of us. There were two of us together. He fell on us. We got absolutely, literally in the corridor, we got wrecked with joy. We were rolling around on the floor like puppies, just completely didn't know what the heck was going on. We were hysterical, drunk. People who were the producers and different people that were operational were literally stepping over us in the corridor and rushing backwards and forwards. They knew me, so it was fine. I was like rolling around on the floor, just screaming, laughing, and then boom, the whole thing bust off. We didn't even say a prayer. We didn't do anything. We literally turned our heart toward Jesus. He hijacked us, and the rest was history. And he sorted the oppression out, which was clearly global warfare that we, you know, outside of God, you can't touch that stuff. You know what I mean? But it showed us, you know, the joy of the Lord is our strength. And the Lord, you know, Psalm 2, he sits in the heavens and he laughs. You know, he wanted global unified prayer that day. He wanted to enjoy his people as they were reaching out around the nations, attempting to be united and to come in agreement for the sake of the nations, for his inheritance, Psalm 2. So he was not going to have a bunch of demons messing it up because he was enjoying the day. And so, you know, there we were, tottered in our little stilettos, and boom, God took over and sorted the day out. And the broadcast went on uninterrupted, and it was fine. So it was the 60th anniversary of Israel, so that was going on at the same time as well. So there was a lot of things colliding, you know, it was interesting. As a whole of the story, I could write a book about that week. It was quite extraordinary. But anyway, that is to encourage you to say, you know, we don't have to worry about how to get breakthrough and all the difficulties we're facing and the complex strategies to dismantle this, that and the other. And if the Lord gives us those strategies, praise God, that's the key. But what I've found is the highest, well, the always the place to start is worship. Ascend into his presence, turn into him, stay there until you get his perspective, agree with his perspective, or let him wreck you with joy, and you won't need to say a lot. You won't need inner healing and mass deliverance and 25 years in counseling, because the king will show up, and I don't mean that rudely, I love all the ministries, but and I really honor them. But what I mean is, you know, one moment with the king and boom, it's game, set and match. And that's what he wants. That's the beauty and the power of living in the first love experience. Coming out, don't accept apathetic, exhausted religiosity. It's not our birthright. It's certainly not what Jesus wants for us. And I don't underestimate, I don't say any of this with condemnation. We all have to walk a daily walk of representing ourselves back to the Lord, because the enemy prowls around like a devouring lion waiting to pounce where he can, right? He's not a fool. He's very sophisticated at wrecking human beings. Hence, look, you can see it in the world. When you look around, you can see destroyed humanity because of the work of darkness, his hatred towards us. And that's why it's so important to ascend, to look into the face of God, to remember who we are, to remember whose we are, and to allow his power to flow through us, to transfigure us and everything around us, and to live in the enjoyment and the joy of the first love experience of a vibrant, living, ongoing, powerful, transformational connection with Jesus in the mystical union. And then he'll do whatever he wants, right? He'll take you on journeys, doing whatever. He'll take you into heaven. He'll introduce to you other members of the family from heaven. They're all alive. We're one church in Christ. It's not weird. It's normal. You know what's fake because it doesn't leave you with more of Jesus inside you. Those things are usually just vain imaginations with people having a go, which is fantastic. But I'm talking about the reality of knowing him and what happens when the reality of heaven invades you. You know, you want, they're glorified people, as I've said before, one touch, they're filled with God. One touch from somebody from the cloud of witnesses and you are changed. All of this is the life he wants for us, as we know. And so I want to give some time. Maybe let's, if you're up to worship him, Mark, if you can walk. And then let's just go back into worship and just really respond to him. And then I'm basically going to close the meeting. Stay, you know, we have an hour. Stay and worship him and let this be about you and Jesus. But if you want to go, please feel free to do that. This is the most, you know, the most important moment is now, right? God fills now. Our moment to, you know, he knows where your heart's at more than you do. There's no condemnation. It's just simply, it's not about beating yourself up with a hair shirt. It's just about saying, Jesus, I love you and I'm so exhausted and you know my life and I want my first love experience with you again. I want that vibrant living connection with you. I want all of my needs met in you. Just talk to him. Let it be so real. This is your moment. And it's at his invitation. He wants every part of your heart given over to him. Wow. So feel his beautiful spirit moving. He wants us in the revived, alive, permanent state of being in love with God. For some of you, I just saw Jesus taking younger ages of your hearts just into the meadow, like a daddy with little children, just lifting them up, looking into their face, throwing them in the air, catching them again, bringing comfort and laughter and security. And I just felt that, as I can see him doing this, that he's, there may be struggles to receiving his love from younger ages of you that are still stuck in trauma and pain, and he's just dealing with those ages. He's healing you. He's healing you through encounter with his love. He's removing every high and lofty thing that resists his presence in your life. And I just impart now that same grace that came on my life, Jesus. I thank you for the ministry of the Spirit of the knowledge of God to be assigned to each of my brothers and sisters in this hour in a focused manner. Let the revelation of who you are, Jesus, accelerate in their lives. Thank you. Just let your heart pour out to him, you know, where you're at inside. Just give him the pain, give him the challenges and everything that you see. Be real with him about where you're at. Just get your heart right with him. Allow him to revive you. Allow him to kiss you awake again with his presence. Holy Spirit, give them that holy laughter, Jesus, that breaks strongholds. Let the weapons of their warfare, the mighty weapons of their warfare, be evident over these coming days. Let their hearts be rejoicing in a fresh knowledge of your victory and your power. Experiencing your love. Help them to enjoy you. Remove from our hearts, Jesus, every idol, everything that competes for first place, everything that satisfies us that should not be, that replaces you. We just give it all back to you, Jesus. Holy. Jesus, lift the speech from within us that's not godly, that's not reflecting your heart. The attitudes. Lift from us the attitudes and the speech of others that has had a power to damage us on it. Everything that hinders love, Lord, everything that seeks to separate us from you, everything that binds us into self-centeredness, remove it all. All worry, all fear, all doubt, all timidity, all unbelief, remove it, Jesus. Everything that falsely defines our identity within ourselves, remove it, Jesus. Every mental belief, every stronghold of our minds or emotions, Lord, that contradict the truth of who you are and who we are in you now, remove it. Remove the apathy. Reinvigorate us, Lord, with your abundant life, with your beautiful spirit. We turn into you, our source, our tree of life and we drink from you again. Fill us with truth that sets us free. Give us the mindset of God. Holy. Thank you, Lord, that you wash us. You wash us with your beautiful word. You bring us forth as a bride without spot, blemish, or wrinkle. Washing us with the water of your revelatory word. Thank you that we are washed and cleansed in your blood. Every moment in your presence, we are made new. And Jesus, we just lift up our families, our church families, our regional church families, our national church families. And we thank you for this transfiguring experience becoming normal. That you would revive us again, that you would bring us back, each one of us, into this first love experience. Lord, as we go from here, from this precious time with you, I just pray for rich, deep, continual, increasing encounters with your love. The unfolding revelation of the majesty and beauty of who you are, opening up for everyone where your spirit is within them, Lord. Let there be an explosion of dunamis power, of love. Reigniting hearts, our hearts, and all those we love and stand for in agreement right now. That our first love experience would be continual and increasing. And then all other lesser loves, lesser attitudes, would just disappear, cease to exist as we are engulfed with perfect light, perfect love, perfect holiness, effortlessly as we enjoy you, as we enjoy you. And you bring us forth, Jesus, to look just like you. We love you. We're so thankful. We're so thankful. We're so thankful for everything you do in our lives, Jesus. We're so thankful that we have you. Even if we've been gripping on by our fingernails, we have you. We let go. We stop gripping. We fall into your arms. We trust you. Author and finisher of our faith, we trust you to reignite us now. We've chosen you. Thank you.